briefly comment on that. I don't work for the police department. They are a department under the chief executive officer. I can tell you that sometime in the afternoon of Sunday, they received information in regards to one individual or more who weren't going to leave without resistance. I was updated on an investigation that commenced by the Hudson Police Department in regards to information that was developed that an individual not only had a weapon, but was willing, capable, able to use that weapon and would against police officer. There were terms such as suicide by cop, other terms being used, and again, I don't have all the specifics that are in the report of the investigation, but those are some of the things that were being said.
Mm-hmm.
I do know that the Hudson Police Department acted in a professional manner and went to even family members of one individual who corroborated this information in regards to the potential of this happening,
mm-hmm.
Concluded that this individual had been distraught and made a determination that they weren't going to put themselves or anyone else in harm's way at 6:30, which was time being stated in regards to the fence going up. I know that I was advised that even family members tried to go down and speak to an individual or the three that occupied the shack.
Mm-hmm.
And that they also were told to leave. I received information that in one circumstance, somebody may have physically been removed from the porch of this establishment or this shack. And that was the extent of the information that I received. The police department felt that that led to the threat level of having to bring a SWAT team in case the information that they corroborated and that they received was in fact as accurate as it appeared to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we talk about SWAT teams and we hear the myths and the rumors of, you know, red dots and they stormed in like paratroopers and, you know, they got on a bullhorn, they told people to come out. Two individuals walked out of the shack. The third allegedly, you know, was too intoxicated to get out of the chair to do that. So, you know, you're going to hear the things that you hear about, you know, how horrific it was that the police went down. But let me tell you, from my point of view as mayor, regardless of my career in law enforcement, if you want to, and this has occurred, if you don't like a decision that I make as mayor or the city makes, and you want to drive by me and give me the finger, and you want to, you know, say the things that you do in public about me, which, you know, are not true. You want to put me in a position politically to not be liked in the future for future consideration as a political figure. That's fine.
So but now you're a politician, huh?
Well, just for a second. But when you cross the line and you make threats against police officers, the lives of police officers who put their lives on the line every day, who have family, who have children, and you put out there that the public isn't safe or anyone trying to put a fence up around you know, an establishment, then you've crossed the line. And I have no tolerance for that. The police officers handled themselves, nobody was, handled themselves professionally. There was no incident down there. And outside of what I have mentioned about some of the information, the documentation exists with those officers who did the investigation that evening.
Mm-hmm. So I do want to move on to some other things, but I wanted to just ask you one more thing about that. So are there future plans yet, and is there still a possibility that some of it may be preserved?
We have had, I've had discussion with, and I want to make this perfectly clear too. I have to talk politics again just for a second, but the mayor is charged with doing certain things I am a different branch of government, as you know, Victor, than the Common Council. When we occupied this land, or was given this land by the state, and it was occupied by the Tin Boat Association, it became a liability. It was my job to make sure that I protected every resident of the city of Hudson as mayor from liability. I've done that. When it comes to consideration for leasing the land, which it's my understanding through corporate counsel that that's not possible, because you can't lease public accessible land. However, we have sent, as you know, a letter to the Department of State, which we're waiting on for their opinion. That has to go through, even if it was a consideration, that has to go through the council for approval. The consideration for purchasing the land is another proposal. And we have to take a step back and consider the fact that we had to have that land for $4.4 million of funding for the sewage treatment plant. So do we renege on our promise that we would get that land before they gave us the funding? Mm-hmm. And if we do, do we now have to pay back $4.4 million? And who's paying that? Certainly not the taxpayers of the city of Hudson. I don't believe that mm-hmm. they would want to do that. And we've spent money litigating on behalf of the city of Hudson residents what was brought on by the Tin Boat Association in a lawsuit at the expense of $40,000 or more over the last 2.5 years. So there's an expense that was incurred there. Let's say hypothetically, and we've had conversation, we being corporate counsel, myself, Don Moore, Common Council President, and members of the Tin Boat Association have had conversations about what we could do to save some of the shacks down there. And I think they're in agreement with saving, you know, if we could save 4 or 5 or 6 of them. One of the proposals that was mentioned at a meeting I had last Thursday was whether or not the city taxpayers and the city would want to take possession of 4 or 5 of them for the purpose of renting them out. But then there's expenses. And the city of Hudson, now that we have to stay under a 2% tax cap, and now that we have to consider everything else that's going on in the city, and it's moving rapidly outside of the Figari, we have to consider the expense of, let's say hypothetically, we said, okay, we can do this. The city's going to maintain 5 of them. Now we have to bring in an engineer to come to the 5 shacks that we have right now without running water, without plumbing, and to get them up to code. Not only with the running water and the plumbing and everything else, but up to code in every other way. Mm-hmm. At an expense of $20,000 per shack, maybe $100,000. If we kept all of them, we're talking $250,000, $300,000. At whose expense? So, you know, it's easy to come to the table and say, listen, I'm passionate because of historical value and perspective that I have as a shack owner, and I want the city to do this, 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 and this. But the city just can't say, without thorough investigation and thorough consideration, mm-hmm. especially in regards to the cost, Victor, now, we just can't say that we can do that right. Without...
But let's take renting the shacks off the table. But if suppose there was some of the shacks could be preserved for, say, a boathouse or different recreational purposes that will be needed down there for public access. I mean, is that
again
something
that is something
considered?
that I've been in the public. I've said that I would consider, mm-hmm. And I think that would be a great idea if in fact that could take place in a manner that wasn't going to cause taxes to go up any more than what they've gone up to pay for the maintenance
right.
of those shacks that we keep. And again, I would be in favor of that. But this is something, again, that would have to be approved by the council
right.
In consideration of that if we get to that stage. Right now, we're looking kind of twofold at the proposal of a lease has come up. It's the position of the mayor through corporate counsel that can't happen. Mm-hmm. Although we're going to proceed cautiously before we make a final determination that it can't, and wait for an opinion from the state. Then there's those proposals of purchasing the land, which I just don't think is even remotely a consideration because of the cost. We get an appraisal of the land, the amount of money that would have to be back paid back to the taxpayers that just spent $40,000+ to litigate this, and the potential for having to reimburse the funding of $4.4 million that was just given to us for the sewage treatment plant.
Right.
But at the same time, all these considerations go before the council, before they even get to me. And I've tried to explain that the best I have been able to several representatives of the Tin Boat Association. And it seems to be falling on deaf ears. The mayor, when, you know, outside of the mayor's office, people think that the mayor, and as well as you know, in some views, people think that the mayor is, you know, what I say is the word. And in some cases, you know, as you know, the council president and the council have more power than the mayor's office does.
Right.
So I try to get that out there for people to understand that I've acted in the capacity of an official who is a sworn elected official to the best of my abilities for the taxpayers and everybody in the city of Hudson, and at the same time had compassion, regardless of what those who are caught up in what's happening down there, thank, had compassion for them in doing what I could do based on law and based on fact.
Right.